Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners. We welcome you to the segment. The day today is the 10th of Rabiul Akhir 1447. That is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 3rd of October 2025. Let's welcome Mulana Salman Yunus on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you keeping, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's everything there in Durban?
All well, alhamdulillah. We're having a very cool weather and rain, and alhamdulillah, after very long, we're getting such wet weather.
Gee, and alhamdulillah, this side as well, this week's been a bit cooler. I had to put on my jacket. Last week was quite hot. Alhamdulillah for all the conditions. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And we just express gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and for all these countless bounties that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala continues to bestow upon us. Mulana, let's focus on this year where we said we'll discuss on the flotilla and the ships that have went through. We know it's the grandson of Mandela. He sent out this whole message, and they prepared it like this: if we get caught, they're abducted, then know that this, then they just send the message, but it's pre-recorded. So we've seen certain Islamic organizations, and that they only come out, you know, when something is about Mandela or Mandela's grandson and the rest. So I did share this on one of the previous programs that we did in this week. Allah Azza wa Jal looks at the intention, and people sometimes they are unaware, and later in life Allah Azza wa Jal gives these people guidance if their intentions were sincere. But at the moment, can a Muslim just say that, you know what, these ships are attracting the mercy of Allah? So we won't be able to say that, because there is so many issues that are wrong on there. But we can say that, see, if Allah wants to guide them later, because nobody took that plan of action to say, let's go and do something, He can, and He can guide whom so He wills. That's Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Ji Mulana, regarding this flotilla, let's discuss this, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If anyone has been following and keeping up with the latest news and media, and social media especially, in today's time, I don't know which person still follows the mainstream news. I mean, if a person still is following the mainstream news channels and watching or hearing from there, then that person is living in the wrong times. Today, if you want what is really happening, what is the closest to the truth, then we have to be on the social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, whichever channel it is, in which we see people who are firsthand, they're giving pure, unaltered information. So that's the first aspect regarding the flotilla. One thing is, maybe you saw many images of those boats in the waters and things, and many of them are AI generated. Many of them are AI generated, and even those that are on the flotilla, they have said, you know, I don't believe these images. This is not our boat. This is just AI generated. And they were a bit upset about it, because they said that we want to create, and we are creating this awareness that the whole world knows of our mission. We don't need AI to come in and assist, or people try to say we are helping, but actually show the real vessels, show the real stories. And very often, almost every day from some of those boats, then there are people sending messages, sending reports, that's what's happening. So the flotillas, for those that are still unaware, there are many countries that are put together at the moment, and about 50 plus boats that have been traveling now to break the siege on Gaza. And they are traveling via the ocean, and they are going towards Gaza, towards the Palestine. And they're traveling international waters. And you see, many of the points and information I am mentioning is for a reason, because we are going to go into it very soon. So these people, Muslims, non-Muslims alike, whatever countries, but they all understood and they feel this human need, this human nature, we have to do something. And many a time the question was put forward via those reporters that was interviewing them, whether it's via live streaming or whatever it is. Now, why are you doing this? And do you all think it's going to even make a difference? Just a few votes compared to what is happening there. And the answer was very simple from non-Muslims itself, is that we have to do whatever we can do. Whatever we can do, whatever we feel that we are capable of doing, we will try. And I think if anything, and some people say, but there's already so much awareness created for Palestine and Gaza and what is happening. There was no need for this campaign for awareness. But this has drawn attention like unbelievable from all quarters of the world. Because if we understand what you say international law is and what the United Nations, what they set the barriers in the oceans even, then there's something called international waters that no country owns it. It's free for anyone to go in. There's no naval base, so no one can come and capture you or do anything to you. So in this sense, they said we'll travel over the ocean in international waters and we'll reach Gaza. We won't come into what you say occupied territories or other countries' territories, but we'll travel in international waters and we'll reach there. The flotillas are going and they are unarmed. None of them got any sort of guns or armored machinery. They state very clearly that they are carrying rice, baby formula, water, food. And this is what they are going. That's the mission, just to get this food to Gaza. So that was a very quick introduction because some people might not know about it. And now, alhamdulillah, maybe you might know a little bit regarding it. Now, part of the flotilla, as you said, there are many Muslims and many non-Muslims, many influences, as you'll say, and popular figures in the non-Muslim world. It has attracted much attention and people are following them. People are really following what is happening. And of recent, now we see that Israel came and they have abducted, kidnapped many people on this one vessel. And one of many South Africans, I'm not sure about the exact, I forgot the exact number, but 5 or 8, I think, South Africans, they have been abducted. And one of them happens to be the grandson of Nelson Mandela. So there's a big uproar at the moment, and we know the whole world is in an uproar. And if you look at every country, everyone now is sort of, we can say, on the brink of a civil war. If you put it lightly, or not even lightly, if you put it on a serious tone, is that the countries are collapsing. The powers of the world, as they thought they had control over the masses, Allah, are losing control. And this is because people are beginning to open their eyes, beginning to realize what is really happening. That at one stage in the world, we understood we have governments, we have laws that are meant to protect us. We believed we lived in a democracy, and a democracy is for the people. And in this way, yeah, you will be protected at all times. These laws are for you. The constitution is for you. But now we see, and the whole world is seeing what Islam always said, is that democracy is not a just system. Because those that are in charge who still have ultimate say, even though you have your laws, you have your rules, but when they feel like following it, then only, they will find the bylaws, they will find the in-between, and they'll continue. And everyone is waking up to this sad truth, or we'll say the reality that, well, it's that Muslims have been mentioning for all this time, that you have to have a khilafah, you have to have a leader, you have to have people who are answerable. So nevertheless, the whole world's basically point of view and focus is on these flotillas, because I believe they're not too far away at the moment, right? And they're getting very much closer. And you saw even at times Turkey and Italy, they sent U.S. navies to come and accompany them to try, and they said, no, we're here to protect you. But the flotillas, at the same time, they said, no, we don't need this here. We're international waters. And also they believe that it wasn't there to protect them. It was there more to intercept them, to keep an eye on them, to give reports on it. So whatever the reality is, we do not know in the big oceans there. But every day there are information coming through from those people on those boats. And we should at least keep updated so we know what is happening. Because like what I mentioned at the beginning, they had these pre-recorded messages of them that should they get kidnapped, then play it. You know, it's played. And it's sensible. It's a logical thing because understanding how the Israeli defense, the Israeli army works, then they're definitely going to come for us. So this is where you realize the stupidness of people online. And this is why I always say, do never argue with people online. Because you'll never go anywhere. And this is also where you realize that people don't want to see the truth. They'll never see the truth. So when these messages came out, some people wanted to know how they managed to record it if they kidnapped. This is not real, this is fake. And in those messages, they say so clearly that if you are watching this, if you are listening to this, that it means I have been kidnapped. And a person with a little bit of intelligence will just hear the beginning and understand it's a pre-recorded clip or pre-recorded video that is being sent out. So there are many idiots out there, and we mustn't get caught up in that. And that's why I always advise, get your information, see, go through it, but don't argue with anyone online. There's no use, you're not going to win, you're just going to get yourself irritated. So that was a quick summary, right? Our focus as Muslims is not about the happenings, but we have to know what's happening for us to realize and to see Allah Ta'ala and to realize our trust has to always be in Allah Ta'ala. So from the onset, I know many might not have agreed with me on our certain stance with regard to the boycotting of first item. And from the beginning, whilst there was a push and there was a need for boycotting items, I was strongly not in favor of it totally. The reason being is that I felt that the yaqeen of people have been taken away from trusting in Allah Ta'ala. That everyone was only talking about boycott that. And now what happened? Everyone's gone back to the product. You don't hardly even hear of it. So when that buzz is there and people want to do it, and now also with the flotilla, everyone's yaqeen is going to these flotillas as though they can do something. Nothing can be done without Allah Ta'ala. Those boats are only sailing with the permission of Allah. The water is not entering those boats because of the permission of Allah. Those boats are not sinking because of the permission of Allah. And that's what we have to keep reminding ourselves. That at one point, yes, we are happy something is being done. And don't get me wrong. Part of being in this dunya is that we have to utilize whatever is at our disposal. But ultimately, our trust is in Allah. We go and open our shop every day. But we place our trust in Allah, that Allah, I'm doing what is in my capability, everything is in your control. So if you have both, then it's perfect. But if we only have the first, that I'm going to open my shop and my shop is going to provide, I'm taking the medication and the medication is going to cure me, then that's a very, very big problem. Because now we're not trusting Allah. We're trusting the asbab, we're trusting the creation, whereas our focus has to be on the creator. So we'll find now even many people think, I got hope these flotillas are going to make it. They're going to break the siege. The world is going to see that even if they get stung by the IDF, and then what's going to happen? They're all going to see the reality of Israel. And I always say that, haven't anyone seen it already? Everyone already knows what Israel is doing. The world knows what they are doing. But they choose to be silent. Why? The powers above is in control. The powers of the world is in control. Those Rothschild, those people that are there, the Zionists, that are controlling the Jews, that are controlling the bank, controlling everything in the media. So even when he goes to a vote, and majority of countries will declare it a war crime, but if just one or two or three, Israel, US, some other people, just say no, it's not, the whole vote will get vetoed. Everything. So what that shows us, we are basically living in a controlled world, in what you say a new world order, where we have no power as we were taught and meant to believe we had. At one stage in sports and everything, they'll tell you, sport is sport. There's no religion, there's no politics, there's nothing. You just play your game and you go. All the athletes are told that. But now, they say, only so much we can handle. For 20 years, we kept up with that motto. But now we have an influence on the world. Even though they're non-Muslims. But we have an influence on the world, and now they are using their voices to say, we can't keep quiet anymore. That how can, and this is another aspect that remember, this war in Gaza has shaked the entire world. The entire world, what a unique war this is. That the entire world is changing because of a war in Gaza. Whereas you look at Ukraine and Russia, the war is going on, but nothing really affecting the world. The world is carrying on. No one really cares, if I put it straight. No one really cares. And we as Muslims, we care even more because of Gaza, because of our Muslim brothers and sisters. And it's shaking the entire world. That what they thought would have been an easy battle, a victory, and people would have supported them because the Israelis came, because America is saying, because the United Nations said, but now that is very fast turning. Allah has given everyone intelligence, whether you are Muslim or non-Muslim. Everyone has intelligence, even though some choose not to use it. But Allah Ta'ala has given everyone. And everyone is waking up. Just now in Sydney, Australia, I see, and Turkey, I think it was, or some other country, I can't remember, I read it last night. But entire night, they were striking on the road. They shut down the subway. They shut down the roads. In what we'll say, first world, modern, westernized countries, they are doing this. They are shutting down the towns. They are shutting down the cities. You see, enough is enough. Why? Because of these flotillas that got captured. And you understand something. The Western non-Muslim world, they don't understand Islam, right? They don't understand Sharia law. But they understand the international law. They understand the law of the world. So when that gets disturbed and disrupted, now they feel affected. Because now they feel we are vulnerable. This is the law that's supposed to be protecting us. We are living in the world. We are part of the country. And if that can't be upheld for a certain group of people, then what chance do I have? And this is where we as Muslims say very simply, there's no such thing as international law, no such thing as one world law. It's only Allah's laws. Only Allah's laws. You follow Allah's laws and everything will become successful. So I would trust, whilst we are hopeful, all those Muslims aboard, and as Mawlana said, we cannot hope also at the same time that mercy will descend because of this. Because if you know what's happening there, I was speaking to a student the other day, and then he asked me a question. And I gave a very simple answer, a very quick answer. I said, we must never get our emotions, our feelings mixed up with the command of Allah, with Sharia. Never ever get our feelings, our emotions get the better of us. And then due to this, we don't see what is supposed to be done. So example comes with Salah, it's compulsory, faraz, we have to do it. Whether our son is crying, he's of age, he's valiant, we can shout at him, we can do whatever we want. Our feeling will say, I want to be kind, fatherly love. But the command of Allah comes first that I will force you to read your salah. One simple small example, right? So on these boats also, a person will say, no, so much good they are doing, they are going so far, they are traveling. That's your emotions talking, that's your feelings talking. No one said it's compulsory for you to go on that boat. Islam didn't say it's faraz for you to go onto that boat. You optionally went onto that boat. And in such a boat, where is the parda, where is the hijab, where is the niqab, where is the men and women not, where they're supposed to not be talking, they are living together, the toilet, the privacy, where is all this? So, while we might think great, but it's only great if the laws of Allah are being followed. We can never see victory unless and until we come back to Allah. And that is the message I like to highlight for what I have said so far in this final 10 minutes is that our victory is only by Allah. Whatever we can do from our side, if it's not in compliance with the laws of Sharia, with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will never see success. We will never see victory. So boycott how much you want, support the flotillas how much you want, start another convoy even with helicopters and go. But as long as it's not by the fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, we will never see the help of Allah Ta'ala. And, you know, sometimes we say also, where are the Muslim countries? Where are they? Why are they not helping? Look at the non-Muslims, they are waking up. And the answer is very simple. We learn from a small age of the Maktab, the Battle of Uhud, that thousands went forward in that battle. But only 700 was left of Muslims. That 300 munafiqs went away. They, when the real time came, their true colors were shown and they kicked down. Why? They were worried about their own financial, they were worried about their own life, they were worried about their own self. They wasn't worried about the entire ummah. So that's the exact same answer we have. These so-called Muslim countries are munafiqs. They got the power, they got the ability to help, they're not helping because they're worried about their diplomatic relationships. They are worried about their country, No. So very simple. These are what we call. Why they're not helping? Because they're Munafiq. They are Muslim by name, by faith, but within their heart, they really don't have Islam. They really don't have Iman. And we don't just say this without anything. We say well, the actions. We can see the actions. And we are speaking about the leaders of these countries, right? So we have to go to trust Allah. Because you notice, whenever, I don't know if you follow it very closely, whenever hope is getting lost in something and people are going back to Allah, say Muslims are returning and realizing, then some false hope the world gives again to divert our attention from Allah, to make our yaqeen go, okay, Like now, example, the United Nations, they said, okay, we declare now what Israel is doing is genocide. It's been passed a few days ago. And then we see so many other famous celebrities started tweeting the same thing. This is genocide. This is, like, who asked you? From day one, we're telling you it's genocide. We don't need your confirmation. We don't need your support. We don't need your affirmation. But you get still Muslim with inferiority complex who doesn't understand. I got my own brain. I need these kuffar leaders, these kuffar celebrities. When they say something, then I jump. When they say something, then I believe it. No, we're not like that. Allah has given us honor through Islam. And with Islam, we will get honor. So while they are saying, yes, no problem, it's genocide now, we agree. But is it changing anything? Nothing is changing. The boycott, how much of people boycotted? Shops even did away with it. Big companies, big towns did away with it. Did it affect Israel in one bit? Did it affect their finances? As I said, this is my view on it. Many might disagree on it. But did it affect their finances? Did it affect their support? Nothing whatsoever. Because the whole ploy and plot was to divert our attention away from our trust in Allah and towards trusting the systems of the world and that which we think we will see helping that. And these flotillas mustn't be the same. They mustn't be the same where our attention is focused, they're going to get the food, they're going to get it. No. Our focus is only on Allah. Allah does with anything and does without anything. Allah doesn't need anything. Allah does with means, against means, without means. And that's the yaqeen we have to get in our heart over and over. And we need to learn this trust in Allah Ta'ala from what we say, the stories of the Anbiya, the story of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Time is very quickly going, and I will just quick, I know it's a very famous incident of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, but I'll just mention three of them without going into detail because you know the details. Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he was between the ocean and the, what you say, the Fir'aun, the army of Fir'aun. That's where the English saying comes from, between the ocean and the devil. That's where that English saying comes from. But Musa alayhi salam was in such a predicament. No help, what you say, Raza. No help can be seen. People are saying, what is happening? Nothing is going. But trusted in Allah, Allah from unseen, unimaginable way, Allah said, follow my command. Oh Musa, take your stick, hit the ground. Something illogical, something our brain can't fathom. And Musa alayhi salam did it. And then we see the ocean open up. Trust in Allah, follow the command. We see Ibrahim alayhi salam being thrown into the fire. Angel came to help. He said, no, I trust Allah. Allah will help me. The whole enemies around him, the fire in front of him, landing in, trust in Allah. Allah did the impossible. That burning hot fire became the best place for Ibrahim alayhi salam, cool and peaceful. He stayed there with no harm. Nothing whatsoever came out unharmed. Trust in Allah, follow the command of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Hijrah, in the cave of Thor, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the best after all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the cave, the kuffar above their heads, they just had to look down. Allah sent that spider to take that worm. That bird laid its nest. All they had to do was look down. All they had to do was, you know, to be in a cave, let us just look properly. But no, they walked in, they walked out. They never look down. Trust in Allah, fulfill the command of Allah. Allah will grant you victory and safety from unseen, unheard of sources. So there is so much we can say regarding this here, right? But the point of today is that whatever we are doing, yes, we get sick, we go to the doctor, we take a medication, but our trust is, oh Allah, only you can grant shifa. I'm utilizing the asbab we have provided with, but only you can do it. But if we don't have that heart of, oh Allah, only you can cure. And we say, oh Allah, I'm taking, or we just say to ourselves, I'm taking medication, I'm going to get better. Where's our yaqeen? Where's our trust? Allah removes the quality of that fire to burn. Allah removes that knife, the sharp of the knife to cut. Allah Ta'ala removes that quality of the water of laying flat to stand up straight. Allah Ta'ala does. Allah does. And in this final few moments, all I'll say is, what has changed in our life? Alhamdulillah, we had big talks, big statuses, that this is for Palestine, this is for Palestine. But our personal lives, what have we changed? And if you look around us, really nothing has changed. Our salah, the masjid, are empty still. Fajr salah is sad, empty. Adhan namaz, Fajr getting early too. Our weddings, still extravagant. If not even extravagant, a person say, no, I'm poor, I'm not having extravagant wedding. But you're having a wedding according to the Western lifestyle. We're coming with a dress, we're coming with a style, with a suit. Our weddings, our functions, what have we changed? Our dressing, we're still resembling them. Our clothes, our haircuts, we're cutting our youngsters' hair same like them. The same kuffar that are supporting this thing. Then we say they don't have food to eat in Gaza. But we are wasting so much of food. We're throwing away so much of food every day. Then they say there's nothing for them to drink. Yes, we got so much to drink, but are we drinking halal? How many Muslims are caught up in alcohol? We see no clothes for them. But we have clothes, but our clothes below our ankles. Our women folk cannot even dress properly. Our shops we got, we say we're going to donate to Gaza. But the same shops we're advertising now, time of December is coming. How many Muslim shops will be with the Christmas non-Muslim decorations? How many Muslim shops, restaurants you go into, music is playing? That they advertise on the social media of the food and thing, and music is playing. What is the need? What has changed in our life? That we have been caught up in the way the world is telling us that change will come, that we believe it. And we forget that the only way change will come and the only way Allah will help us is by following the commands of Allah Ta'ala. How many of us have done away with that shaitan box, with the television? Oh, we still got it there. We say, no, I'm weak. Weak is not an answer. Oh, on our phones, we sit and we watch all day Netflix and we watch all these videos. No. When will the change come in our life? We are crying for the ummah. But wallahi, those in Gaza, those are going through the iman are much better off than me and you. They are not complaining. They are making, if you listen and you hear the story of Sariya, the reporters that are coming, they are making sabr and shukr to Allah. And we are complaining here. Why? Because our iman is getting damaged. And I just recently there was this rugby match in Durban, and so many Muslims, one status, please help Gaza. Immediately next one, pictures of them in the rugby stadium. Where has our mindset gone? Where has our thinking gone? We have to correct our iman. We have to correct our yaqeen. There's so much we need to say, so much, because we mustn't get detailed and caught up in the system. Whilst we know what's happening out there, and whilst we try within our human capability that Allah has given us, but never forget our trust is only in Allah, in nothing else. We turn to Allah, we trust in Allah, and the first turning point is Allah, is that our salah 5 times a day. And then end up on this one final thing. You know, we always hear about dua is a weapon of a believer. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي قَرِيبٍ. So when a servant asks regarding me, then say, I'm close and I will answer. But the uniqueness of this ayat, and it really deserves a whole another bayan, but just think of this one point. The uniqueness of this ayat is that Allah didn't say, and when the Muslims ask, and when the believers ask, Allah said, and when my servant, my slave asks. Many times we say so much dua, we make it, no help is coming to Gaza. Ask ourselves, are we a slave of Allah? If we are a slave of Allah, then our dua will instantly get answered. And who is a slave? A slave is that when a master gives him an order, gives him an instruction, he has no thoughts about it. He has to do it. He is fulfilling every single thing without leaving anything. And that's how we have to become the slave of Allah. Learn from a slave of how to be a slave of Allah. Then we'll see our du'as instantly will get answered. We don't need nothing in the world. Allah will send that unseen help as we see in the Anbiya, as we have seen the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Get it. But become that slave of Allah. Trust in Allah, focus on Allah, knowing Allah is my master and only Allah I need to fulfill everything for, and He will fulfill everything for me. Make Allah happy and Allah will make us happy. May Allah Ta'ala accept His word and may Allah Ta'ala make it a reality in all of our lives, inshaAllah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for that wonderful advice. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless you, bless all our listeners as well. Make dua for us. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.